The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Minute. It's your daily show in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate Solo, a Star Wars story, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from alexrobinson.fun.
I'm Pete the Retailer from petetheretailer.com.
I'm Arnie Niekamp. I play Usador the Blue on Hello from the Magic Tavern, the podcast.
I'm Matt Young. I play Arnie Niekamp on Hello from the Magic Tavern, and you can go check us out at patreon.com/magictavern.
Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. No, this is great. Day three. What do we got now?
Every day I wake up and I'm like, am I going to go back and do it again? You know, and then time comes to record. I'm like, yes.
It's addictive. It's oddly addictive. Yeah,
it really is.
You were here to talk about minute 43 on day three. Minute 43 starts off with the proud bow of the First Light against the cloudy sky on Vandor. Vandor sounds like a name that should be on Magic Tavern if it has not been already.
It does.
It probably has been.
Are you trying to get yourself a role there? Trying to work your way in? You're like, oh, seems like somebody should be called Vandor on your show. You know, I think maybe it would go a little something like this.
Holy cow, is that John Cusack? And a minute later with Beckett, Han, and Chewbacca entering the lounge of the First Light.
The lounge of the First Light. So here's the note that I was originally going to say yesterday. I bounced it today. I'm going to go back to the, I think this is from the Kazdan. John Kazdan, the co-screenwriter of this, tweeted a bunch of facts because he's like, we didn't get to do a commentary track. So here's a bunch of stuff from behind the scenes. And I think this is one of his notes in that this was Dryden's.
Disney couldn't afford to do a commentary track?
You know, I think it's more like landmines of like, what are we going to talk about? What can we not? Who are we going to get? What are they doing?
Fair enough.
They don't want to bruise egos or step on toes.
Fair enough.
The original plan for Dryden Voss's headquarters was an island fortress with a series of canals going around the island. And in the big action sequence in Act 3, there was going to be a whole thing with Lando driving like a fan boat or something through the series of canals. I'm like, well, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
But then they were like, we can't afford that. Like they basically like trimmed it. They're like, I don't know if we could even film that or, I mean, it's Disney, so they could afford it, but you know, they basically were just like, that's too complicated for what we need to do here. Let's just have a giant space yacht instead.
There's kind of a car/fanboat chase at the beginning of the movie already.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so yeah. There was that hub. Maybe they displaced it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if that moved there or if they were like, we've already got one of these. We're good.
Right, yeah. Weirdly, it's the exact same sequence, but they just like it was Lando in a different place, and they're like, wait a minute.
Huh. I kind of mentioned this. I don't know if it's yesterday or the day before. I like the sort of art deco-y style of Dryden Voss's place. I wish they had leaned into that even a little further. I wish the outside of it because it looks like almost like an office building. It's this long, tall, weird shape for a ship, although it doesn't matter what shape your ship is in space, I guess.
That's the slogan.
But when it lands, it looks kind of like a building. And I was like, oh, it'd be cool if it, like, I don't know, like, leaned into that a little more. And I was like, oh, like, it seems like it's a building until it takes off and flies into the sky, which might have been neat.
Like a flying Chrysler building, just gonna, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was kind of like hoping it would be. But then they step in, and it's a Star Wars cliche now of like, it's the cantina, it's Maz's castle, it's
every Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. Ideally has at least one scene where someone is in a room with a lot of kooky aliens and
a song
that you only get quick glimpses of and don't really see very much of.
Right.
I will say, for my money, not enough kooky aliens. Like, I'm enjoying the kooky aliens I'm getting, but I could have used a few more kooky aliens in this.
This is exactly my point. I wanted the outside to be more decadent, more art deco. I wanted the inside to be like more weird and original and like, yeah, kooky aliens. That's it. Exactly.
I get what you're saying. I really love the design of the ship. I think it's such a weird, I mean, it reminds me kind of Boba Fett's starship and also the Millennium Falcon, in that they're kind of like, we kind of take the Millennium Falcon for granted at this point, but that it's kind of an odd design for a ship, or that the fact that Boba Fett's starship, you know, is like takes off and kind of tilts and moves, like, this does not seem like, it seems like the wrong way for a ship to be moving. It seems like it should be like a boat, like horizontally and stuff. So the fact that it's vertical, I just think it's so, you know, impractical that that's what I like about it. Like, it doesn't seem like anything would really ever be designed this way. I like the idea of it being kind of like a tall building. It's almost like a callback to the old school rockets, you know, rockets would land, sci-fi rockets would land on their tail, and the ladder would come out, and people, you know, would
that would be cool. Like art deco, like, he's just really like into that kind of aesthetic, and so his whole office is like a giant, like, old school looking, it looks like a what is it, the Hugo Awards or whichever one is, like, just an actual like silver kind of rocket just like flying around in that. But then you go inside and it's like a complicated, you know, like multi-level like luxury yacht.
Yeah. And it's got touches of that for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got hints of it, but it feels a little sparse. Like, it just feels sparse. It feels like it should be like weirder. Not maybe that's the wrong word, or just like more decadent, I guess, you know. Like, I kind of wanted that.
It looks
I'd like the design too, you know, but I wanted more. I don't know. That's weird.
Inside, it looks kind of like a corporate retreat, kind of. It has a kind of,
yeah,
kind of pristine blandness to it that seems a bit, you know, clean, I guess, and kind of.
Which I guess if you're a legitimate businessman, that is the look you have to go for. But like, I don't know. I think it would have been more. I think they could have had more fun with it.
How do you think it ranks compared to, say, Jabba's sail barge? Because that's what it seems. It seems almost like an upscale version of Jabba's sail barge. Like, it's just a thing for this rich guy to go around with all his friends, lackeys and friends, and it's, you know, has windows and stuff.
There's a lot of women with, like, metal masks. There's a, I can't tell if it's,
that was
like,
a style
supposed,
at the time. It was very
much
if a
it's
trend
supposed to
of
be
the,
like a Eyes Wide Shut vibe or something. Like, there's it's definitely like a little unseemly.
Yeah,
well, it does. And I think I started with this on I not even tomorrow, for my first note for Friday, skipping ahead, was going to be this whole scene is a little too Buck Rogers-y for me. It's like, it feels like, you know, like almost like an idea of what the future should look like. And then I know it's not the future, but, you know, like, well, this is what sci-fi, like, let's make this more sci-fi and not just making it kind of like weird and interesting. It's making it like, oh, and this will be weird, but it's not weird in a weird way. It's weird in a, like, by numbers almost.
In a throwback chromy way.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm responding to too, is like, push that into its own new unique direction.
Yeah.
And if it's borrowing a lot from Art Deco to, like, make it resonate with us as an audience, maybe that's kind of where I'm I'm vibing on that too.
Yeah.
Well, before we even get inside, the first person we encounter, the first creature we encounter in the doorway to the, not the lighthouse, if we're going to one-to-one this to Jabba's retinue, this is the equivalent of the weird droid that lives in the door, Tote Ra and the Hylobon Enforcers. He's a Hylobon Enforcer.
Tote Ra. I saw Tote Ra and the Hylobon Enforcers. They opened up for.
yeah.
What do you think of a fake name?
Tote Ra, of course, is a double ended reference to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Speaking of Karen Allen, Tote being the guy who grabs the headpiece of the staff of Ra and gets it in his hand. Mm. Yeah.
So is it just me? Maybe again, like I'm hyper focusing because it's this minute. Tora's voice is kind of bad, right? There's something like almost maybe not bad, but like it's comically seems sort of fake to me a little bit, where it's almost like they forgot to have someone do it, and then they're like, Woody, you got to do a voice under your breath while you're walking up. You're like, what are you? We'll need to check your bags. Like,
oh, it's part of the con. Woody's trying to get rid of his guns. So that's why he's like, oh, you got rid of your gun. Oh, yeah. Did you hear what he said? You got to get rid of your gun. I like it.
Yeah. It sounds like somebody putting on a voice for sure. I had that in my notes too, that the voice over here is really weird and bad for no reason. Like, just have somebody speak in a normal voice, just say that line.
And there's also, by this point, regular listeners are sick of me saying this, but I need to point it out to everybody. Why not? My show. The sound mix of a lot of the voices that are dubbed in, particularly like stormtroopers and aliens and stuff like that, it sounds like they're coming from nowhere. Like it's not kind of, you know, it doesn't sound at all diegetic. It just sounds like it's, you know, this odd voiceover voice coming from in the middle of nowhere. And that's part of it. Like, you can have a goofy voice if it sounds like it's coming out of that creature. The illusion can still be there. But like, when it's not, when there's something, if they're not right on in the middle of the frame staring at you while they're doing it, it sounds off.
That is such a good observation, which is probably why you're saying it so many times. But I felt like
getting complimented. He says this every week, and the guest goes, "That's a really good observation." And then
I love the singers and everything like that thing. But there's also like there's something about it that sounds a little bit off, like not in a way that's a choice necessarily. It kind of reminds me of the like Harry Potter dub thing that was going around like 10 years ago, where someone just did voices for every character. No, not Harry Potter. I'm sorry. Lord of the Rings, where someone did a voice for every character, like a intentionally bad voice for every character in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it's a problem in the mixing, and people are going to be, you know, I'm sure there are technical people who are going to be like, well, actually that's the, you know, but
it stands out. Like, there's something that's off, and I think it's exactly what you're saying. Even if technically it's correct, it doesn't play in the moment. It takes you out of it and feels like, oh, that's jarring and weird that there's this odd voice. Somebody doing it, show me your weapons. And then it's like, but it's also like, yeah, it's like not muted enough or from the right direction or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And I also did not like the singing voices. They also felt the same way. They felt like disjointed and not connected. And to be and the floating head in a jar thing, I was like, fine. Like, just have a normal singer. At least it's not the honeycomb guy or whatever the thing was in Jabba's palace that they added.
I will say I enjoyed the head because in that scene, like the woman is singing and it's very strange. And then you see the head. And in my mind, I was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if the head also started singing and then the head does start singing?
Your dream came true.
It does sound weird. Like, I almost wondered, like, if they were playing the audio track backwards or something. There's something very uncanny about the sounds that they're making.
Yeah. Well, again, let's blame the mix, partially. I have a lot of notes about the songs going on here. Because I feel like it's I feel like I'm in the minority in that I really don't like this song. I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, like look, the Star Wars songs, you know, like the diegetic Star Wars songs, like the, you know, the Cantina song, obviously, and the Jabba Flow from The Force Awakens, and there's one or two other ones that people bring up, and they're like, oh yeah, and they, I feel like people love this one somehow, and I'm like, this sounds like garbled nonsense to me for the most part, and I like I get it that they're going for a, but again, it feels a little Buck Rogers-y, where they're like, isn't this weird? But like, it's not really, it's just off.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So this is really like, I guess maybe this is a very obvious thing. So if this is before Star Wars, you know, is this like big band? And then is it Max Rebo or what is the
Don't
Star
get
Wars
Pete
band
talking
like
about jizz.
The birth
You'll
of rock and roll
all night long?
It funny you say big band because I there's
the theory
the singer doing the voice of the head in the jar, and whether or not it's the on screen one is up for debate. Because if you listen to Solo, a Star Wars soundtrack, the version of this song is called Chicken in the Pot. And I think the severed head is Lulio Primock. Lulio Primock is the titular chicken in the pot. I think the song is kind of a metaphor for he feels like a chicken in the pot. Lulio Primock is named such because the temp track, like at least the song was sung. And in Wikipedia, it just says Louis Prima. I'm like, I know that Louis Prima has been dead for a long time. So I'm assuming...
Never stopped Star Wars.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's they got, like, oddly, they brought him out of the Rogues Gallery. Okay, he already did work for Disney. He was King Louis, so they probably had him on file. But I'm pretty sure it's Louis Prima Jr., who does do, like, he spent some time in like a hair metal band in the 80s and then transitioned into doing more kind of, you know, big band traditional, cashing in on the family name.
Fulfilled his destiny.
But there's not confirmation of that anywhere that I can find. It's just like, oh yeah, it was Louis Prima. I was like, it isn't, I don't think.
Definitely is not.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't have the Louis gusto Prima. Of a Louis Prima.
Like, yeah. Well, then the one on, I'm forgetting which is which, but there's the one on the soundtrack and the one in the movie. One, the severed head, the Lulio Primock's voice is kind of high and like a little reedy. And the other one, they either did some magic to it or had somebody else do it. And it's like a more of a low guttural, just kind of like,
I thought that was the head in the jar.
Well, this is the one in the movie, maybe, is the one with the low voice.
On the movie versus the one on the soundtrack.
On the one on the soundtrack, it's more of a high voice. So it's like two kind of high voices. She's got a high... No, they're both... Her voice is the same in both.
Okay.
But the head in the jar's voice is not as much of a drastic difference. It's lower here in the movie, and on the soundtrack, it's higher, a lot closer to her voice. More of a back-and-forth duet, not so much contrast.
Hmm.
The she in question here is Orodia Ventifoli. Orodia Ventifoli. That's the it's the pasta with the little ridges on the side and they're thin. These played by I can't read my own handwriting. I want to get this completely right. I have Sema Tall Smart. Does that read
Tall Tawi T-A-W-I?
Oh, that's an I. Sema Tawi Smart.
Sema Tawi.
Sema Tawi Smart. That is the body. This is the person. Again, this could all lead to the fact that it's a puppet, and then somebody who's dubbed could lead to the way why it doesn't sound like it's really there.
Well, they're also singing in a public place, so I assume they're being amplified. I assume they're being
I think maybe they're Milli Vanilliing this. Maybe they're not. Mm. It's not really them at all.
That's a bold accusation, Senator. You're going to have to back. You're going to have to present some evidence. You're going to throw.
We're
around
cracking this case wide open right now.
People are saying that's all I just heard. Yes, Sema Tawi Smart.
Adori Ventifoli Milli Vanilli.
She is the actress here who is also she played Ubiala Gil. It totally sounds like I'm just making all this up because I was like, let's stretch for time. Like, oh, Orodia Ventifoli was the same as Ubiala Gil. Ubiala Gil is kind of in Canto Bight, speaking of places full of aliens, weird aliens who might be Art Deco. Ubiala Gil was the kind of looks almost like a cone head wearing kind of a like a white kind of head covering thing, like a soft helmet almost.
Oh, yeah. That seems vaguely familiar.
I think she's out on like the balcony in one shot.
Yeah.
And then the voice is the singing voice is a singer named Baraka May, which also sounds like a Star Wars name.
I mean, nobody listens to podcasts to listen to some guy just make a bunch of names. So yeah. I don't know what you think you're doing.
I don't know. Seems like it looked interesting at the time. I don't know.
Nah, it's not. It's stupid.
Well, let me give you the names of some other Lulio Primock songs.
Great. Oh, I can't wait. I'd love Chicken and Pot.
Wow. So okay. I'm excited to hear about the
discography. Is this a Galaxy's Edge thing? Like, is this like on the Galaxy's Edge soundtrack or something?
No, none of them. I don't, there's only a recording of one of them as far as I know.
The rest have been lost.
The rest are just, exactly. They're like those Doctor Who episodes. Carve Your Name in My Heart.
Oh,
that's one of them. This sounds like it would go. It would be a good, B-side to Chicken in the Pot is in Your Love is Gravy.
All his things sound like they're like meat related, like
stuffed with your love. And then eventually, just decided to cash in, and Lulio Primock recorded his own version of the Huttie's holiday classic, Joe Blasto. Which
Joe Blasto.
Is Joe Blasto, which is, I believe, either in the actual Star Wars Lego holiday special or was released on the YouTube channel to go along with the Lego Star Wars holiday special.
Whoa.
And it's the to the tune of Jingle Bells, but it's all in Huttie's.
So he has a lot of songs about food. Is he the Weird Al of the Star Wars universe?
I'm starting to like him more now.
Yeah.
He's part Louis Prima, part Weird Al.
For the record, I do like the singing duo. I think the fact that people think it's their favorite, I mean, God bless them, good, more power to you. To me, it just sounds like a bunch of random notes and stuff. Yeah. But I never even recognize Jabba Flow whenever people talk about that either. So,
I love Jabba Flow because one of my kids just wanted to listen to that nonstop for a while when that was out. So I will always easily recognize Jabba Flow.
But yeah, I like the head in the jar. I think it's a fun, Star Wars-y kind of silly idea George Lucas would have definitely gone with if someone had presented it to him.
Does anyone have an explanation for how that head is singing through the water in the jar?
That's well, it's got the it's got kind of a mask on its mouth, right? It's got, that's probably a microphone.
I guess I sort of saw it as being on the jar, but not necessarily on its mouth. But I could be wrong about that.
Alex, you've got a guide there. Are you gonna?
Yeah.
Is there any information?
I was thinking when I was excited when you brought that up because I thought you were gonna say how is he singing without lungs? But that was just me. Huh. I made their little lungs and his little head tendril things. I don't know.
You know what? More than a few of the details about this character just don't seem to add up.
Something's not adding up.
This is all further evidence for my Milli Vanilli accusation.
According to the solo official guide, first impressions of this tiny Galushin might not suggest a recording legend, but Lulio Primock was a chart-topping singer in the years before the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You sang in the Clone Wars? He also starred in a series of old Hollow movies while wearing a dashing humanoid exo suit.
Mm. Ooh.
Now past his prime, Lulio is still favored by retro collectors and enthusiasts, and the tank he is in is filled with formaldehyde.
Oh.
Formaldehyde. So wow. Clearly he's operating on a very different level than any of us know how to...
So is the idea that he's kind of like a somewhat past his prime celebrity, but he's still doing like a corporate gig essentially for this...
Or he's like the artist in residence on the, you know, he just kind of is kind of like Dryden Voss's guy for the month or whatever.
Well, the other funny thing about that is for older collectors of, and he's like pre-Clone Wars, and we're saying like, oh, this ship kind of has this slight Art Deco-y thing, and it's like, oh, I guess a lot of the ship is supposed to be harkening back to that pre-Clone Wars era.
Right. There That's you go. Cool. So he's going for that audience.
Oh, it's like they think this stuff through.
Right?
Yeah, I like that. It's like he's like a conscious, it's like that's like he's purposely making it look like an old fashioned kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, he's a hipster.
But is he doing that because he likes that, or is he doing it like a if he was running a casino and he would have it have like a Rat Pack vibe because he knows that the people who would want to come there to do that, that's what they're looking for. Like his personal aesthetic might know. Well, I guess we'll see. Once we get into his office, then we'll find out. Here's the plan. You are going to man the windows. Alex, I need you to. No.
That'd be so great. If this turned into a real heist involving us, wouldn't that be such a great twist?
Live on the air.
We gotta get into Dryden Voss's office.
Okay, first we've got to figure out how to get into this fictional movie. But once we get past that part,
well, you guys know how to do that part. For one,
I know. So I'm like an expert on sort of fictionalizing myself.
That's why we got you here. We needed that.
I have some really dumb observations from the beginning of this minute.
Excellent.
Perfect. That's why we're here.
When it's panning down the yacht, essentially, the music is really doing a lot of work, and I like it, but it's like it's kind of like it's trying to cycle through a couple of feelings really fast. Like it's sort of panning down, and then it almost has like a James Bond quality where it's like wah 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 wah, but then it's like there's no more time for that, and it quickly segues into like going to commercial music. Like it really ramps down really fast. Like, okay, now we got to go into the next scene. That's the kind of observation that I don't expect.
Well, first of all, when you said pan down the yacht, I wanted to sing it as turn down for what, but pan down the yacht, speaking of Weird Al. But then also I'm famously music blind in this kind of thing. Like unless it really, like now that you mention it, next time I'll go back and I'll be like, oh yeah. But it really takes somebody to either point it out to me or absolutely hit me over the head with something if you have a singer there singing it, I'm going to notice that. But like for the most part, people will be like, oh yeah, I mean that one music cue from, you know, Revenge of the Sith. I'll be like,
It is the kind of observation that like is probably not that useful to like hear someone just explain it unless you can actually, but there's going to be three people that are going to go back and listen to that scene and be like, spot on.
Well, let me give a side plug. Our friend Chrysanthi Tan is doing a show called Star Wars Music Minute where they go through the music of each 5-minute segment. Once a week, they go through all the music of the minutes that we covered during the week.
Oh, wow.
And on mainly on YouTube and also as a podcast. So Star Wars Music Minute. And I'm sure there will be some discussion over exactly what you just talked about. And lots to talk about chicken in a pot, I'm sure.
My other really silly thing from the second after that is when they're walking into the yacht, everything they walk past that I guess are just structures on the ground look like they could maybe be robots. Like, and I wonder if that's just always a problem in the Star Wars universe. Right. Like, is that a garbage can? Is that a robot?
People put their stuff down on top of it and the thing starts walking away. And
you gotta lie down.
I thought it was a honey bucket and this thing starts walking away with me in it.
Could maybe be robots. I like that.
Well, I do also like the idea of you being in Star Wars and being like, I thought that was a robot. It's like, these are just rocks. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Or you start like telling your whole story to a, ATM machine thinking it's a, it's a robot. Like, oh.
Mom, I met somebody. Oh, wait, no, that was just an ATM machine.
Tote Ra, little factoid, his weapon that he carries is a vibro cutlass.
Ooh.
And did anyone know the difference? A cutlass? What makes a cutlass as opposed to just a sword? Anyone know?
I always
just think of pirates
know.
As having cutlasses.
Well, yeah. A sword can cut more, whereas this can cut less.
There you go.
Star Wars!
A cutlass is a short sword with a slightly curved blade.
Oh, okay.
Formerly used by sailors.
Ooh. Vibro cutlass.
Oh, the name cutlass comes from the French word, couteau, I guess, couteau, meaning knife, couteau. Distinctive in appearance from other members of the sword family. I got a new pitch. Hang on a second. Its blade is usually 27 inches long, an inch wide, and slightly curved with a cutting edge on one side only. So 27 by 1 with a curve.
I like that. Okay. At some point, the pirate council had to get together to decide technically what was a cutlass so that they would stop getting the wrong types of things.
Hmm.
Also, a cutlass is a car frequently driven by grandparents in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Cutlass Sierra, I think. Cutlass Cruiser.
Well, if we've come to that, it surely must be the end then of minute number 43, unless you guys have anything else you want to say about it.
I guess my only small thing is it's weirdly funny to me when Woody Harrelson hands in his gun and he's like, that's all I got left. Like, I don't know why he's sharing that information with the gun check person, but.
Well, maybe part of his con. Clearly, he just wants to make him think it's my only.
Like, hey, I couldn't possibly have more weapons on me.
It does make it more suspicious. He's like, wow, this is my only gun. Like, I'm like, well, yeah, okay.
I plan to bring in a lot more guns, but yeah. I lost them along the way.
Said it was his last one. I guess I got to go along.
Oh, yeah, was he going for sympathy? He's like, this is my last gun. I'm like, oh, okay, keep it. I don't want to take
it. Please treat it nice. This is my
if you see
gun.
Some on the way where I walked in, if you see some guns out there, they're probably mine.
Well, they must have a bucket of like ones people accidentally left behind. So maybe on his way out, he can.
Smart. Yeah.
The blaster lost and found.
Rifle through it. And
rifle through it.
All right. So, speaking of music, as we were, I want to give a thank you and direct people to the Underdog Night Soldiers, who perform our closing theme, Han Solo, We Wish We Were You. Mm-hmm. You can check them out on Spotify or Apple Music or anywhere you find music these days. And then we hope you'll check us out tomorrow on another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.